Let's stand together. I want us to pray. I got saved in the tail end of the Jesus movement in Upland, California, and my life was saturated with pornography. I was afraid to die. I knew I wasn't right with God, and I was 22 years old, graduated from Christian college so I could get saved. And I was in the White House. I lived in a White House. And I was praying up in my room, and I'll never forget, I prayed that Jesus come into my life, and the love of God was shed abroad into my heart by the Holy Spirit. I went running down the stairs shouting, "I'm saved, I'm saved." I went into the malls, they kicked me out of malls, I preached in movie theaters. People were getting saved in the early 70s, and I believe that Jesus wants to do it again, where thousands and thousands get saved. He comes when we pray. Would you pray with me? Father, we believe that it's not over with for California. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of encroaching evil, Lord, we pray for a Jesus movement, the greatest awakening in the history of California to take place. Pour out your Spirit on our sons and daughters. Father, I pray that you would raise up a prayer movement in California that prepares the way of the Lord. I pray that there would come in the midst of a culture of decadence, you would raise up a culture of love for you, of holiness, a passion for Jesus that marks the future of this state and this nation. And so I pray that God, you would do something in 2008 that 20 years from now we would say, we were there when you poured out your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My name's Lou Engel. I'm 55 years old. I have 7 children, age 22 to 6. They won't be out of my house till I'm 70. I have a problem. I rock. This lady says, "Welcome. We're all a little weird." And I've been doing it since age 1. You know, maybe we need some headbangers in this life, you know. But the Lord has given me great favor, really in the nation, to call a generation primarily of young people, but old and young, because I don't want to miss out. As a 55-year-old, I don't want to miss out on what God's doing in these days. And I'd like to tell you my story, because my story probably is better than my preaching or my teaching. Not a great Bible teacher. This book is the foundation of everything we do. But I thank God that he then writes a story through our lives. How many of you know he doesn't write boring novels? You know that God wrote a novel about your life? Psalm 139, before you were born, he wrote all your days in his book. Come on. He wrote a novel about Lou Engel. Lou, he'll rock. You say, "Well, my novel's not too good." Well, you just haven't gotten to the 4th chapter. It really starts heating up about right now. But God has written a story about our lives. Problem is, sometimes we try to write our own story. That's when we get into trouble. We need to peek into what he's written in his book concerning us. Or if we need to have a ghost writer, Holy Ghost. Shut up, Lou. Let me tell you the story. I was born here in California, and then I ended up pastoring for 20 years as a kind of assistant pastor. Tried to be a pastor, was not a great pastor. But I did pray, and nobody would ever let me preach because I thought I was the best preacher. Of course, I didn't have any character, so you got to preach to somebody, so I preached to God. And I prayed for 25 years. I prayed for 25 years for a great awakening in California. 1997, something began to take place in my life. 1997, Promise Keepers put 1 million men on the mall in Washington, D.C. to pray for the nation. How many of you have heard of that gathering? It's called Stand in the Gap. 1 million men gathered to the mall in D.C. to pray for the nation. A week later, I was speaking to 600 young people in Phoenix, Arizona. I held up the front page of the USA Today page showing the Promise Keepers gathering. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. And I begin to declare this word. The hearts of the fathers are turning to the children, but the hearts of the children are going to turn to the fathers. And there is coming a corresponding youth gathering to the mall. And there will be a John the Baptist fasting and praying, extreme generation. And when they go to the mall, it will be a sign that America is turning back to God. I delivered that message. And I got down after I preached and I thought, God, how will this ever take place? Because I don't have any organizational ability. When God was handing out left brains, he left mine out. So we began to pray, and our dream was that stadiums would be filled with young people and old, two generations, praying and fasting for the soul of the nation, for the nation to turn back to God. And then 1999, I found myself praying this prayer, and the prayer was this: God, how can I turn America back to God? I found myself groaning, longing for America to have an encounter with Jesus that could yank it back from its rebellion, its sexual immorality, its half-hearted worship. This was groaning in my heart, praying this prayer. And in January of 1999, a woman came to me. I didn't know who she was. She came to me. She said, "You don't know who I am, but the Lord told me while I was reading your book on revival, the Lord told me that I was to pay your salary this year because you were going to start something with the youth of America in prayer that will change the destiny of the nation." And I'm thinking, who are you, lady? But I took her money. She paid my salary for 7 years. 3 months after she came to me, she's 84 years old, she lives in California, and she is burning with a vision that a prayer movement will arise that will turn a nation back to God. I tell you, what will we do with a legacy like that? She came to me 3 months later, a week before the Columbine shooting, she said, "Have you ever thought about putting kids on the mall in D.C. like Promise Keepers put them in?" And I said, "Ma'am, I prophesied it 2 years ago." She said, "I'll give you $100,000 to start it." It started a supernatural series of events that on September 2nd, 2000, 400,000 young people and adults gathered together on the mall in D.C. for 12 hours. Not for a festival, but for a fast. We told these kids all across America, we tell them, we're not telling you who the speakers are. We're not telling you who the worship teams are. We've had enough personality-driven religion in America. We've got to get God back on the scene. We spoke to them about a John the Baptist company that would arise, and they would fast for prophets are forged in the deserts of fasting, not the deserts of feasting. We told them this gathering is not a festival. It's a fast. And you come for 12 hours. And if it rains, you stay in the rain because we're here to move the heart of God with fasting and prayer. And the call came from Joel 2. In the book of Joel, the whole nation had a destruction. Locusts had devoured the food. The whole nation was in a crisis. But Joel 2 is this: when there is no hope for a nation, when there is no remedy, God still has a holy prescription. Joel 2, blow the trumpet in Zion. Gather all the peoples and call a fast. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on your sons and daughters. That was the dream that God put in my heart in 2000. We knew we were in a crisis in America. But in 2008, we are in a crisis in America beyond anything we knew in 2000. right now in California, with the legislation that's gone forth that Miles is leading the parade, the voices of a million petitions to say, we are standing for marriage. The church is about ready to lose its voice because Jezebel, demonic spirits, are in high places and the prophets are hiding in caves. Folks, we have come to a time of a Jezebel-Elijah showdown. And we are, I believe, coming to a Mount Carmel moment, and the Lord is speaking to his church. How long will you halt between two opinions? How long will you remain in your silence? Folks, something's going on in California right now. Just this 2 weeks ago, a court passed this law that says now that parents cannot homeschool their children unless they have a teacher's credential to homeschool their children. Do you know that? You know what that means? The government wants our children. The question is, do they want him more than we do? I think he's calling the church to a place where we're repenting from a passivity and a silence. For a halting between two opinions. If the Lord is God, serve him. Or Baal is God, serve him. The church is plagued with the pornography addictions. If I would sweep through this place today, it's like this all across America. The church is saturated with compromise. Scripture says this in Revelation 2. He says, I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel who seduces my bondservants into sexual immorality. They tolerate it. They say, well, this is just part of the culture. It's not that big a deal. No, the blazing eyes of Jesus are coming to the church. And he says, how are you going to change laws in government if the hearts aren't changed? How are you going to overcome powers of darkness with a million petitions unless there's been repentance in the church? If my people will humble themselves and pray, then I'll turn a nation. Oh, I am warring with you for these million petitions to sustain the great, to sustain marriage as we have known it in America. You lose this, we're going the way of Europe. We're going to lose the very foundations that preserve a culture. And you're saying, well, it's not that bad. What happens when your children are the wards of the state and you can't even send them to Christian schools? That's coming, folks. Unless the church arises at a crisis moment and says, God, we're going to repent from our own compromise. We've worshiped sports, entertainment, materialism. And we only find a little flame of desire for God. The scripture says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. That doesn't leave a whole lot of room for passions being shared here and there. We have only so much capacity for passion for Jesus. So when you share your passion with all these other things, you only have a little flame. And I'm telling you, the flame of lust is burning brighter in America than the flame of holy love for God. There must be a repentance and a returning to the Lord. And his answer is, when you want to return to me, he says in Joel 2, return to me with all your heart. Say with me, with all your hearts. With all your hearts, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. God's remedy is the tearing of our hearts, not just a day, but a lifestyle. Where we're not just going a day, saying, oh, I cried a little bit, we had a nice worship chill. No, I'm in small groups with my band of brothers, and I'm telling them that I've fallen in pornographic internet compromise. I am not. But that's the stuff that has to happen. We have got to come real with one another. Time out. The reason the government has gone so far in its rebellion is because the church has not restrained the evil, because we've become just like it. It's time for a sound of consecration that says, Lord, make me a burning man. That's what Jesus said of John the Baptist. The spirit of Elijah was on John the Baptist. He says he was a burning torch and you enjoyed his light for a little while. How would you like God to write that on an epitaph of a whole generation? What Jesus said of John, what if Jesus said of a generation that was saturated in a culture of ease, of sunshine, a beach, surf, sports, entertainment, that something arose and Jesus would say before his Father in heaven, before all eternity, there came a generation, they were a burning lamp. They were a burning lamp. And you enjoyed their light for a little while. I'll tell you what, when the Lord wants to turn a nation back to God, he doesn't use a balanced person. John the Baptist was anything but balanced. I mean, his main meal was locust and honey. And then it says he fasted often. That means he broke his main meal to eat nothing. You say, well, that's insane, Lou. Exactly. They called John insane. Jesus, when he came to earth, we just all want to be so nice, so proper. Southern California Christianity. You know who Jesus identified with when he came into his ministry? He identified with the extremists. He went to where the locust and honey dude was baptizing in the desert. He was saying, I identify with the passionate ones whose eyes are a blazing fire and are not content with a mediocre Christianity, with a mediocre life, with a mediocre legacy. 40 years ago, 30 years ago, a Jesus movement swept California, and I have a sense in my heart there is coming a generation that's going to pray and believe, and once again, he is going to come to the shores of California where wave after wave of revival has come before. Why not believe for such a thing as this? It was this in view that we feel that God wants us to come to California again. Last year on 777, we gathered in Nashville Stadium, 75,000 people gathered to fast and pray, and our target of prayer was repentance for 40 years of the toleration of the sexual revolution that could be marked in the 1967 Summer of Love, 777, the perfect time. On that day, 75,000 all across America gathered to fast and pray for 12 hours and said, God, we want to say it's over with this 40-year rebellion. And we want to say, God, bring us a generation into the promised land of purity, of spiritual awakening, of reformation, of the changing of governments. We want to believe, God, that you're going to reveal yourself in a way that'll astound us and astound our children. With that 40-year vision, we prayed, that 7777 vision, we were stunned when California soon after that passed a bill called Bill 777. Do you think that's an accident? I think it was a demonic rage to seek to go against the prayers of the saints. And Bill 777, among other things, says this, that a young man in public schools in California can put on his gender in his application of public school. The young man can say, I am a female. And then, by law, he is now legal for that young man to use the female bathroom in public school. This is the insanity in which we were going. But it is when the powers of darkness are in their darkest places and they're in the place where they're bringing forth pressure, Elijah's spirit rises to contend. A challenger arises. But that challenger is the burning man The Spirit of Jesus was his blazing eyes of fire coming to a generation and said, you can no longer halt between two opinions. You can't be doing internet pornography and then coming to church on Sunday and worship with a pure heart. Folks, we've got to make war for the soul, the burning fire of love for Jesus, because he loves us. Listen, if you're struggling in sin, thank God for his mercy. He is filled with grace, but he also has blazing eyes of fire, and he says, you cannot tolerate this. I believe that California is being called into a day of repentance. So with this Bill 777 and this voice that's calling for this homosexual marriage, and we are not pointing the finger at homosexuals, we're pointing it at us. But agendas that seek to change the culture, we are making war with in the spirit, because it's about our children. And I got a phone call from the pastors, Miles McPherson, and from Jim Garlow. I got a phone call and said, we're doing this million petitions, but we know it's not enough to fight it out on the ground of the million petitions. It's a spiritual battle. Our fight's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Lou, would you bring the call to San Diego, Qualcomm Stadium? Would you bring the call? Not knowing that God had given us a dream prior to that. And the dream said this: as the doors were opened to the stadium in Nashville, so the doors will be opened to the stadium in San Diego, and the Chargers will come forth, and they will not be on the defensive, they will be on the offensive. And so when I received this phone call, I knew God is seeking to raise up a standard in San Diego. See, I feel like we're in an age-old battle here. For this state is the apostolic state to carry the gospel. It's also the downside. It is the state that carries forth the pollution of the nations. And the state is in a great battle between Jezebel and Elijah. And it was years ago, several years ago, that God led me on a 40-day fast. And on the 31st day, I was here in San Diego, fasting on water with a couple times I cheated. I was praying for the heart of my 13-year-old boy that I had lost. And on the 31st day, every day I was praying for him, God began to visit my son, and I got my son back. Maybe God wants to raise up men that want kids more than the world's culture wants. Elijah, he turns the hearts of the fathers to the children. We need men that pray. We need men to say, God, give us the children. And they're not willing to sell them on the altars of entertainment. And on the 31st day, I was praying every day for 31 days. I was praying, God, break the spirit of Jezebel that dominates this state. And release something that shifts the culture here. And I was praying for 31 days. And cleanse me from any inward toleration in my eyes. Anybody relate? And on the 31st day, I preached here in San Diego on the historic movement that came out of San Diego in 1946. Where a fasting prayer revival broke out. Thousands here in San Diego were going on extended fast, and a book was written called Atomic Power Through Prayer and Fasting. Out of San Diego, it spread around the world, and in 47, the healing revivals break out. 48, outpourings of the Spirit begin to take place, campus revivals. Could it be that what was spawned in San Diego literally was a jolt to global movement that affected the whole globe? Israel became a nation the same year, 48. I tell you what I believe, San Diego, and I preach this, San Diego's calling is to lead the nation with fasting and prayer for revival and change. I preached that 5 years ago right here in San Diego. That night at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was in a little hotel, Circle Hotel. And I had a dream on the 31st day, and I was flying over California. And I was roaring the victory of the cross over Jezebel, declaring the victory of Christ. It was the happiest dream I've ever had. You know, ever have, just, and I woke up roaring the victory of the cross. Deliverance had come to my own life. Freedom had come to my son. And little did I know that that day when I was praying that at 1 o'clock having that dream, the next day I flew to St. Louis. A brother picked me up, said, "Lou, I had a dream of you last night in St. Louis." And in the dream, a woman came to, he heard a voice, and the voice said, "Because Lou's been faithful in this fast, I've given him authority over Jezebel. And wherever the call goes, I will establish my house of prayer." I'm not interested in a stadium day. I'm interested in a day that leads to a prayer culture where the prayer revolution begins to stir the whole state, and everywhere men and women are calling on God. That's our hope. A political answer, we need political answers, but our ultimate hope is God. And our kids need God. They need encounters with God. Amen? It was that, with that, I was stunned. We did the call in San Francisco. 40,000 people gathered in Giant Stadium to fast and pray in 2003. We had received a dream. I'd received a dream in which I was in a stadium filled with people. And there was a place where kings would decree the word of the Lord. And in the dream, this young man had it. I was there declaring the word of the Lord, and a man named Governor Gray Davis was in the stands. And he didn't want to, but he had to submit to every word that I was speaking. Gray Davis was the governor of California. We held the call, and then right after the call, immediately started the recall. And Gray Davis was impeached from office. California, he was passing every evil law. I believe that that spirit of prayer shook the thrones of iniquity in the heavens, moved angels and demons, shook thrones. Soon after that, I was invited to preach in San Francisco in a Black American church. And I was preaching on the Elijah Jezebel showdown in San Francisco. In walks a tall white man, sits in the front row. I'm thinking, I don't know who he is, but I'm sure he doesn't like what I'm talking about. At the end of my message, the pastor gets up and says, "The mayor of San Francisco has come here." He gets up, shares this thing. He had just been elected. He asked me to pray for the mayor. I laid my hands upon him, and the Spirit of the Lord agitated me, and I declared this. I said, "Lord, I thank you that all government is derived from your government. Therefore, let this man know that he will be held accountable for everything he does under the government of God." 13 days later, he's the man that started to marry the homosexuals in 2004, shook the whole nation, but God had called someone out of fasting and prayer to warn him, and I dare to believe that was but a first play of a great play that is coming in 2008. That I believe that California rises, starting in San Diego, not just for a day of fasting, but a whole year of fasting and prayer, calling on God for a spiritual awakening. He could change this thing with this million petitions. He could uphold marriage. He can literally change the thing with a great awakening. And who knows, we may be in the days of the greatest revival in history. I would rather go down looking for that than playing passive. Then running in the middle ground. I tell you, men and women are being called right here today to repent, to change their ways, to come out of their secret sins, to say, "I'm going to begin to be a man or woman that prays. I can no longer living a half-hearted." How long will you halt between two opinions? God is calling young men to burn for God. He loves you with a holy love, but he demands you to walk after him as Lord, as the loving, burning Lord of your life. No more compromise. Time out. Does anybody here want to say, "I want to run with God. I hate the compromising place of my own heart"? Is there anyone here today that's you? You said, "I want to stand right here." I said, "God, give me grace, but I want to stand right in the front midst." I don't want to say, "God, today I want to turn to you." Is there anyone here who would like to stand in front of all this place and say, "I want to burn. I want to turn for you"? The Lord sees that. It's a call to change. It's a call to destiny. God will not release destinies to change a nation with a compromising heart. He loves you. He will bless you in your weakness. He will love you in your weakness. But he is calling you out to a higher purpose to change the future of a generation, of a nation. Can America turn back to God? If he started this in 2000 with the call, with a widow who had a dream that a nation could turn back to God and issued forth hundreds of thousands of dollars, I say that God will not fasten our soul to a dead-end vision. God will not fasten our souls to a dead-end dream. Would you stand with me right now? I'm going to pray. Everyone stand. We're going to the call this fall. We don't know the date yet. We're waiting for the Chargers schedule. We believe it's going to be the end of September and October. On August 16th, the call DC will be on the mall. And then we're coming to San Diego because we believe both calls are essential for the turning of America. For what goes on in California affects the whole nation. If this marriage bill passes and legalizes homosexual marriage, the whole nation's going to go that way because this is a leadership thing. God, I believe, put the hand of the Lord on Miles McPherson to raise up this million petitions as a voice, as a leader. And if he put him on him, he put the hand of the Lord on the whole church to no longer live your summer for a nice summer breeze and light suntan. Someone's got to burn for God in times like this. Who knows, for such a time as this, you've been brought into the kingdom. I'm calling you not to a day of fasting. I'm calling you right now to a season of fasting and prayer. I'm calling you to come out of the dark and your secret sins and get happy. How happy is the man whose sins are forgiven, in whom there is nothing hidden? When I did not confess my sin, thy hand was heavy upon me day and night. I tell you what, there is no joy when you're walking with unclean sin. Oh, but where there's confession of sin, the blood of Jesus washes us and joy breaks in. I know the joy of sins forgiven when I'm not walking in the secrets of my own sin. But oh, the devil can't blackmail me because I've walked in the light with my brothers. Oh, joy unspeakable. I love Jesus for his mercy. I want to pray for you right now because I believe that God has called this church possibly to be the leader. The petitions on the ground and fasting and prayer once again out of San Diego. Move angels and demons in the heavens and move men on the earth. If I can move heaven, I can move men. I would rather be a celebrity. I would rather be a star in the heavens than a celebrity on the earth. If you want to raise your hand, I'm going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, make this company a lightning rod. Today, start thousands on a journey of burning passion for Jesus. To begin to see, I pray for the grace of fasting and prayer to come upon this place like a mantle. I'm praying that young men will come today and they'll walk out of that thing that has put them in bondage all these years. Today, they'll point back and say, something shattered. And I pray, raise up a voice out of San Diego like you did in 46 to change the future of the world. And then I'm asking that everyone here, you come to that day at the call and you do it for 12 hours and you're coming to say, God, give us one opportunity to shake this throne of iniquity off of our state and off of our nation. I bless you. May the Lord encounter you with his love in Jesus' name. I'm going to show you a video of the call Nashville. And as you watch it, I want you to dream that such a thing could take place in San Diego. Have a seat. We'll watch this video.